You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
We're back with another episode of the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Today it is Austin and I.
We really need to come up with an intro. Like an actual intro that we say every time.
I was feeling good about that one.
This is like, what, episode 88, 89?
Yeah.
We're almost to 100 episodes, and every episode we're just like, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, well, guys.
It wasn't welcome back this time.
It was we're back.
We're back.
We changed it up a little.
Yeah. Austin's back from his elk trip and...
And feeling it.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Trying to catch up on sleep.
Yeah, trying to catch up on sleep, and then I think I go to the chiropractor maybe Thursday. But one thing that I don't know if I shared in the elk episode or not, which we'll have a couple episodes of elk, so we may repeat ourselves. It's been just kind of chaotic. But opening day, the day I shot the elk, I'm 30 yards from the truck, and I take a step, and I just feel my lower back just slide out. It was like... It was a smooth slide out too. It wasn't just like a pop. It was like, hey, all of a sudden we're out. And I'm like holding my back going, this cannot be happening. And honestly, the thought crossed my mind. Do I keep going or do I go back to the truck? Because the spot we were going to was like, it was only 2 miles deep, but still it's 2 miles in the mountains. And it was like, oh crap. So chiropractor Thursday, I think... At least for myself, I put in over 100 miles of walking, and that's when my watch was on and charged. That's not, you know, all the other times, and all the other guys probably put in roughly the same amount, if not a little more because of the pack out. So, yeah, I think we're all feeling it little bit, but...
You know how much weight you lost? Did you lose any?
I lost 10 pounds, and we ate good at camp, too.
Right.
Like, we ate... One night we had backstraps and potatoes, which that was probably our best meal. Fresh backstrap and elk backstrap. Wow. Like, makes me not want to kill as many deer this year. Like, it was so good. No gamey taste at all. Like, this was cut, seasoned a little bit, and then cooked on a little camp stove. And it was delicious. But I had the chef... of our group, Clyde, with us the first few days. And the first morning in the mountains, he cooked this, like, pretty much a breakfast skillet type thing. And we had, like, some breakfast burritos and just, it was delicious. And even, you know, now it's sold at Bass Pro, but the Peak Refuel freeze-dried meals. They were actually really good, and I think we just got some from, I don't know the company. I've been so disconnected from everything.
Adventure, it's on the tip of my tongue. We got some to try, so you guys will be seeing that on our socials here soon. I'm excited to try them. Austin will have a little bit of a better baseline to try them against, but this will be my first time trying freeze-dried, so.
That's right. Adventure yeah. Well Outdoors.
That's right.
Honestly... I don't know how many they sent or what they sent, but
they sent four.
Are they breakfast or
no? One is like a chicken masala or something like that.
Mm.
We got four like main course types.
Okay. Well, one of the days we're out hunting. You know, I may hunt all day Friday.
Yeah.
If I can get Friday off from work. And just sit out there and I, you know, may take one of those and eat that for lunch.
Yeah.
That's one thing us guys talked about is like a jet boil is it's a little bit of an investment. And it's definitely necessary for Western hunting. Especially when you're back in the backcountry, but for deer hunting, it could be good to get you through those all day sits. Because it boils water real quick, and then you just dump it in a bag, and it makes you a meal. And honestly, some of the Peak Refuel that I had, I didn't even finish it all just because I was like, I'm not hungry anymore. This filled me up. And at no point did I ever feel like I was, like, not eating enough or anything. And it was mainly, like, Clif Bars and Peak Refuel. So I'm excited to try these from a company we hadn't heard of yet until they reached out. And I'm if they're anything like the Peak Refuel or even the Mountain House that I had, I'm excited because they're don't hate on freeze-dried food. Like, it's actually pretty good, especially when you're out in the outdoors.
Right. And, like, yeah, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, I looked at the biscuits and gravy one that you talked about. That one looked really good.
I'm picking that up for breakfast, yeah. Probably Friday morning.
The hard part about that, though, is, like, it's not like they're that cheap, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what was it, like 10 or 12
a meal? Yeah, it's like meal? $12,
I think. So, I mean, yeah, like, if you're not where you can go get a Subway sandwich or Chick-fil-A sandwich or something, mm-hmm. Yeah, biscuits and gravy out of a bag are pretty good. But if you can go to Brahms and get some for $4, I mean, right. That's kind of tough.
But, like, when you're out there, it's nice to have that warm meal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of it like I'm going into the stand probably this Friday, which will, I guess, be last Friday by the time this episode's aired, two Fridays ago, the 15th. I'm going in, I think I'm going in real early. I'm thinking about going in at, I need to look at sunrise, but 4:30 or 5, sneaking in at night.
Sunrise is like 6:50.
Is it 6:50?
It's pretty late.
It was like
right
6:30 there.
It's pretty late
in Colorado.
Right,
so, yeah. So maybe around 5.
Yeah.
But I want to get in hour and a half before there's any light. I haven't looked at the moon phase even. I mean, I'm so behind on getting ready for deer season. It's terrible.
It's not like the moon phase is really going to change if you're going or not, you know.
Like, true.
You're
going. But for that, you know, if it's a full moon, it's already sunny out.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, if there's no moon, you're walking out and it's pitch black. And I think I could sneak in, get into the Taj and have a good shot at stuff coming through, because stuff's been coming through almost every day. I think today's the first day in a week that we haven't really got pictures, at least in the morning.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm also concerned sitting all day just because it's like we've got pictures of deer at like noon.
Yeah.
Like 2 days ago, I think it was like 1.
Right.
And, you know, we've had kind of a cold front move through, so they're moving a little more. But yeah, I don't know how we got there, but I'll go in the morning, take, you know, a Pop-Tart or something and eat that in the morning because I have a crap ton of Pop-Tarts left. If you want a box of Pop-Tarts, I have some.
What flavors you got?
It's just the brown sugar.
Oh, generic.
I know.
Dude, I need some blueberry or strawberry.
That's where I'm at after having, I wish they sold like an assorted box. They might.
They might.
But I didn't see it, so I just got the brown sugar. Because that's the one I like.
I mean, they're not going to disappoint you.
Yeah, they won't disappoint, and they're a solid Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
But I got way too big of a box. I ate probably one of the small boxes, and I got a Sam's Club box.
Oh, geez.
So I have like 5 of the small boxes, or the, I guess it's the medium, whatever it is. But yeah, I'll probably go in with that in the morning, and then I have some breakfast, like a breakfast skillet from Peak Refuel still, and I probably will make that in the morning, shut all the windows to keep a little bit of the smell in. But honestly, they don't, it's not like you're cooking it on a pan or anything. So it doesn't smell that like that strong.
Right.
But just eat that in the morning, sit till whenever I feel like, yeah, I'm going in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this, I think you'll appreciate this. This is the first year that I've actually packed my stuff. Like, I've got all my stuff in a pile in the office, and I've had that done for like 3 or 4 days now.
You have been ready for deer hunting.
I have. There's one thing I'm missing though that's driving me crazy. I'm missing the headlamp. I can't find it anywhere. And I know you gave it back to me because when I was working on Ash's car, I definitely had it. And
it's in Ashland's engine somewhere.
Yeah, it's hooked to the alternator right now. No, I have no idea where it is. I'm going to have to find that because I used it a ton last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing, though, that I'm missing, and it's driving me absolutely crazy.
See, we're sitting in my office right now with my 3 containers that I packed for elk, all still completely full. Actually, check that. 1 is empty. I think my clothes were in that one, so that doesn't count because I needed to wash those. But, yeah, I'm hoping tonight, maybe tomorrow, I get to that, empty that, and then I'll be packed up. But it's kind of been a weird, weird transition from like last year at this time to this year at this time. Because last year, you know, I was kind of like you are now. I had my bag packed to go to Nebraska. I was ready to go. And in a sense, it's still the same with like elk and having everything ready to go, then going. But my focus has been completely on elk. And now it's a transition to deer. I'm trying to like play catch up on deer. And that's, I don't know, it's just been kind of a weird, similar but different year to year experience.
Yeah. And I know we're both really excited for deer season and we're going to be out a ton this weekend because it's opening weekend. But it's a long season. I mean, honestly, we've got awesome opportunities this weekend, but we're going to have the best opportunities probably here in the next month or month and a half. Not to say that we won't shoot something this weekend. Obviously, that's what we're going to try to do, but we've got a lot of season left in front of us, which, I mean, I'm excited for 50 degrees, 40 degrees,
right.
Another rainy day at the lake. That was awesome last year.
We may have to like combine like this episode and then like next episode or like a Saturday episode after season, because I really think we're going to have a deer on at the ground Friday.
I think we'll have something down. It might not be a buck, but probably a doe.
Are you taking a doe?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take one doe just to fully fill the freezer. And I have a ton of people that like the meat and stuff and want to eat it. So I like, you know, harvesting it to share it and, you know, so I think with that, you know, well, like with the elk, we'll have people over have stuff, and I don't want to go through all my elk, so it'd be nice to have some deer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll probably shoot a doe opening day. But as for bucks, we've changed a little bit, which is kind of cool, the journey we've been on, especially at kind of our private property.
Sure.
At least that my grandparents own. We've changed how we're kind of approaching the buck situation this year because we actually seem to have an abundance of bucks.
Yeah.
At least at the moment.
Yeah. And it's tough too because we're seeing a lot of bucks out there right now, which, you know, we've always seen kind of bachelor groups, but this year it seems like there's especially a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard because there are great bucks in that group. And there are a couple that you and I have talked about. Yeah, we'd shoot this one. We'd shoot that one. But we've got access to other properties that we haven't seen any bucks on yet. And who's to say what's out there? Mm-hmm. And that's like, I think we're starting to get, not to sound arrogant, but like we're getting confident enough as hunters where we're going to have to start making some of those choices. And, you know, a buck that we would shoot on opening weekend, I mean, here in the next year or two, that's probably a buck that we pass trying to get something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're kind of getting to that point. I don't know if you're feeling that or not.
I know for after last year and how terrible that was, even though I didn't have another opportunity, like we talked about, or like you guys talked about in the last podcast, it still sucked.
Yeah.
Like it still was like fully knowing that a monster could step out and I didn't have the legal right to shoot it.
Right.
Was terrible.
Right.
So it was kind of like, there's that. So I'm kind of at the point where the elk kind of satisfied that itch to get back out and hunt, and killing a mature elk like that. I talked to some people, they're saying it was about 3 years old. And you know, It may not even be a mature elk. I don't really know what a mature elk is. I did a ton of research and didn't really ever figure that out. I was just like hoping to see one, but killing a big elk like that, getting the meat from it, getting to experience that, it kind of changed how I was approaching this season. And I went from, yeah, you know, I'm going to smack a buck, you know, I'll take a, you know, a small eight, to now I'm like, I have two bucks that I'm pretty much targeting this season. And I'm, you know, last day it could be a little different, but opening day I'm letting a lot of these bucks pass.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we have a 7 point that it's a really nice deer. And I wouldn't be mad if someone shot it, because it is a nice deer. However, for me personally, I'm like, I'm going to let that pass because I see his potential that he's going to become. And to me, it seems like we have just enough land around us now that people don't hunt, that it could survive. If it ventures to the wrong area, it's getting shot.
Sure.
We all know that. But I'm kind of looking at it going, I'm going to let that one slide by. There's a couple eights that are smaller. Probably going to let those fly by.
Yeah.
But there's two. There's one wide eight and then the tall one are kind of my two that if they step out, I'm shooting.
Well, and, you know, it's tough, too, because we've got a month and a half until rifle season. I guess more than that, probably two months-ish.
It's a month and... It's about a month and 2 weeks till the first antlerless.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
really. There's so many.
I don't really care about that
too
much.
We need to get the agent back on, Agent Forcell, to kind of talk about it, because out of every season I've ever hunted, I think this is the season with the most change, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've never gone onto the MDC's website, and there were like five bullet points of changes to the season this year. I was like, oh, I didn't know about this one. I didn't know about that one. But what I was saying was, like, if you shoot something opening day, it's tough because you give up a month and a half of hunting. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's not a big deal because maybe you only get to go out a couple times. But like for us, if we both tag out opening weekend, that's great. I'm sure we'll be excited about it. But we also miss out on a month and a half of hunting. And I'm sure we'll go some, but without having a buck tag, like there were times last year where if you weren't going with me after you shot your buck, like I couldn't go, you're like, I might just sit out this morning or sit out this day because you'd already shot some does, you'd already shot your buck. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't that same drive there, which I completely understand. So it's definitely getting harder and harder to pick and choose. For me this weekend, I want to shoot pretty much, I guess, any mature doe. I mean, I'm not going to shoot a small doe, but like you just had an insane experience shooting an elk and you've got that confidence, and it's been a long time since I've shot something.
You're going to see me sling an arrow at a deer at 85 yards and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Looking right at you too. But for me, it's been a while since I've shot anything, and I've been practicing, but I just had like a weird last couple weeks where I was on vacation and then I got into all those chiggers and was just miserable. So I didn't shoot for like a week. And then right when I was about to start shooting, I had my limb go out.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So I had to deal with that for a few days. I guess that was before vacation. And then when I was back after, you know, all the chiggers and stuff was kind of going away, I broke my release and hit myself in the face. And so like I've had all these things just piling up the past month and haven't been able to practice as much as I want, which bothers me. I spent a good amount of time Sunday afternoon practicing, but even just using the new release, like it's nice and stuff, but I just don't shoot as well with it. And I can tell that it's like, man, I need to shoot more, but I also want to take something just for the sake of, okay, I want to get my confidence up early. Mm-hmm. And just remember what it feels like to be able to shoot something.
Yeah, absolutely. And man, what broadheads are you going with? That was why I wanted to ask. And have you been shooting with broadheads?
I haven't. No. The main reason is because I'm still shooting the Rages that I shot last year.
Okay. Yeah.
So I still feel good about those. Like I haven't changed anything up, and those flew great for me.
They flew right on with field tips.
Right.
Like I would shoot a Rage this year.
Yeah.
Had I not seen what happened to the elk with the Grim Reaper. I'm really excited to smack a deer with the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what it'll do. Honestly, I would try those too. The main reason I'm not is because I still have like four or five of these. It's like, well, I've only used one of them. Like there's no reason I shouldn't use them because it worked well. I do want to get some fixed blades, which I haven't done yet. I still have a G5 or two that I'll probably just throw on an arrow in case I need it, but I'm really just going to plan on using the Rages, honestly.
Did I tell you that while we were in Colorado, I've put on one of the G5s just to have something that could really punch through some thickness?
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and the bottom part where they come together, like, so you have kind of the triangle, the blade side, and then underneath where it connects to, I guess, the main,
yeah,
main column or shaft, whatever you want to call it, it was cracked all the way through.
Hmm.
And it was a brand new one. Like, you could tell I'd never shot it before.
That's weird.
And it was just like, I don't keep it in a protective case or anything, so something could have happened.
Right.
But I was like, man, that, I'm wondering what that would have flew like had I shot it. You know, I got rid of it. I didn't shoot it just because I'm kind of like, I fall under the umbrella of, if there's a defect when it comes to bow hunting, I'm not going to even risk it.
I'm the complete opposite.
Because I don't want to get slapped in the face.
Yeah.
Now, ask me that when I'm sitting in front of an elk or a big buck.
Sure.
There's a different story. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I tossed that one through on, I think I had another one that had been shot. You could tell it just wasn't as sharp, but still sharp. And
yeah.
And it was kind of weird because those things are pretty indestructible.
They're really sharp. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't get a ton of blood out of them in our experience so far, but they did the job, and I would trust them to do it again, especially shooting through thicker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, I just want to try new stuff, honestly, and I realize that there could potentially be some heartache in there trying new stuff, but I haven't been hunting long enough to know what I really like and what I don't, and I mean, I know that I like the Rages more than the G5,
mm-hmm.
And I know that I like pretty much both of those two over the Muzzy 3-blade.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they don't fly worth a darn, but I don't know. I want to see what the Rage can do if I get a vital shot on a deer. Like, that didn't happen for me last year. I was just behind the heart. We've talked about that plenty of times.
It happened for me.
Yeah.
The one deer that
you got a vital shot on.
Yeah, it was the 5 minutes
that you walked up on. Yeah. Hey, that was a good shot. So I guess that's kind of what I want to try, and try some different shot angles with them and stuff like that. I mean, obviously I'm not going to be careless or reckless or stupid or anything like that, but I want to put the stuff to the test a little bit. I want to find out what I like. I'm sure that seeing you shoot something with your giant bullet of a broadhead might convert me. We'll see.
Honestly, after seeing that, I think I'm converted. I've had a lot of people ask me kind of about the shot and the arrow, and we can get into that a little bit more. But were you done talking before I get into that, I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, like, I've had a lot of people ask me about kind of, okay, why 82 yards? And make comments like, I'm surprised it punched through that far. I'm surprised your arrow drove in that deep. And for those of you that haven't heard, the arrow went straight through, severed the carotid, the jugular, hit both lungs. One punched through the lungs, and then the other was just kind of like cut. Kidney, liver, stomach, I'm pretty sure is what it hit. I didn't dive all in there because I just don't care to dive all in there.
Yeah.
But pretty much missed the heart. That's the only thing I missed. And when I pulled off the ribs to try to find my arrow, because this thing isn't like a deer where you can just gut it. This thing's like, it's laying on its side. I'm the only one. I'm like, I'm going to have to stink and cut off his ribs to get in there. So I get in there, and if you're kind of like looking at a human, which this is gonna, it sounds terrible, but it's the only way I can think to describe it. The knock end of my arrow was like, if you feel like where your collarbone ends, it was kind of maybe an inch under that. And then the rest of the arrow was down in. And obviously it's an elk, so everything's bigger. But talking about kind of trying things, finding what you like, you know, I took some of what you learned from Bobby and then just seeing your arrow and was like, I really like the Rampage. I want to try that and love that. And really dove into arrow weight and FOC. And I'm no expert on it, but I tell people when they ask that, is like, I designed this arrow for that sole purpose, to punch through an elk. And I have no doubt that I would have got a pass through on that elk had it been a broadside shot, even at 82 yards. So I'm excited to see what it can do to a deer, just because a deer is so much smaller.
Right.
But I think when you dive into arrow building and things like that and really figuring out weight and FOC, that's where you find what you like, because looking at it, you know, I didn't know if my arrow would work. I'd never shot an elk, but I had confidence in my arrow that it would fly straight and it packed a punch.
Yeah.
And it did. So I think that has secured me in my arrow and what I shoot. Doesn't mean I won't try other things, but for me, it's like you were saying, trying so much, it can get to be a headache.
Yeah.
So I found something I like, and it shoots good with this bow. And there's a whole nother rabbit trail with arrows and bows and how they shoot together, because I guarantee my arrow doesn't shoot the same in your bow as it does mine. But all of that factors in, and it can be a headache. So you kind of just have to find what is working and really what you're confident in. It's not as much what's working. It's what you're confident in, because at least in my opinion, because then if you have confidence, you can make a good shot at a long distance if you have to, or a good shot at a very short distance, you know, and that's why, you know, at 82 yards, I knew with this broadhead, with this arrow, with the fletching I have on, the fletching will stabilize the broadhead and it'll get there quick. It's light enough, it'll get there quick that the elk can't react, but it'll also pack such a punch that it'll be devastating and kill the animal quickly. And that's exactly what it did.
Yeah. That was kind of the word I was going to use, is devastating, after watching the video. I think that we'll be having that video come out sometime soonish. I don't know exactly.
So this week, which when this airs will be last week, we'll have kind of the elk competition shoot to determine who gets first shot, which
is oddly ironic.
Enough. Yeah, that's very ironic, which I'm just going to say it now. Clyde Deegan, if I really wanted to, I could have beat you. I was just going for... I was going for the views. I was trying to make the crazy shots. So just so you guys know, I could have beat you. But I didn't. So fair and square, you know, all that. But I'm hoping 2 weeks after that, we'll have the elk video coming out. We have some good ideas. It's kind of hard. And here's kind of the behind the scenes look, I guess, if you want at the video. We really only cut on that day an intro video when it was really dark and you can barely see Clyde and I in his truck, and the shot. Not there was a whole like sequence leading up to the shot and a celebration after and a few videos after that, but that's it. Like, so it's kind of like, how are we going to piece this together? And we have some cool ideas that we're working on, just to kind of highlight what this hunt meant to each of us individually, because while I am the one that shot it and I, you know, I get to hang it on my wall, whatever, it was a complete team effort. You know, I could have probably called and got it to me, but then we won't get it on film. Or I could have filmed and definitely, you know, filmed and called, but definitely not been able to shoot.
Right.
So it's just, it was a complete team effort where we each did our part. Deegan called it in perfect and actually allowed me to miss a shot and then have a second shot at the same elk. So huge credit there. If it wasn't for his calling, we wouldn't be talking about an elk on the ground. And then we get to bring a video to you guys because of Clyde, who was ranging and videoing. And when you watch the video, you'll hear him call out ranges, but it, like, the camera never drifts once he gets on the elk, which is kind of cool. And then the celebration. I mean, the celebration, we just go crazy. Camera goes everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really glad he didn't throw the camera all in all honesty. But now we get to bring not just you guys, like the rest of the team, along on the hunt, but we get to put it out there. You know, I get to show that to my kids someday, heck, my grandkids someday, and, you know, share it with my dad and be able to say, this is how it happened. Instead of telling him about it, he gets to actually watch it, which is just, that to me is really special. Being able to just post this on like YouTube and stuff, we've talked about this, how special it is to us just to be able to do this and also get it recorded. And then also, I mean, not to mention, how many times last year did we use the video to determine when we should look for the deer?
Basically, you know, every time.
Yeah, you know, we would pull out, we'd review the video, and we'd go, yeah, that's definitely a good shot. Unless we saw that deer down and knew it was down, which that happened zero times.
Right.
Well, one time with your rifle. We looked at the video and went, yeah, we can pursue this, or let's pull out. And I think of my buck especially, where we watched it and sent it to people and went, yeah, we need to wait on this one. Yeah. And it turned out to be the right decision, because I know if we would have hiked up that hill, we would have never found that deer.
Right. Yeah, and I think you hit on a good point. You hit on a lot of good points.
Yeah, I rambled. I'll let you ramble now. I'll mute myself here. Wrong mute button.
I just got tricked. Yeah, I was going to say props to you for one, on building your arrows and putting in all that work. It's a lot of work. You did a lot of research, and it's just another piece of the story that's kind of, you know, I guess just feel good about it. Like, you put in that work. And
there
so,
are people involved that don't even know they're involved.
Right.
Like Sodak.
Yeah.
He helped me learn about arrows.
Right.
And I mean, it's so cool just how far it went. I'm going to mute myself.
You're good. The other aspect, the video is really, really cool. I know just talking to all of you guys that it was a team effort. Couldn't have happened any better, and couldn't have happened better for all of you guys just to be a part of it. Like, no one was really left standing without something to do. Everyone can say, yeah, I helped do this, I helped do that. And Clyde, props to you for hitting the gym, man, and being able to hold that pound and a half camera steady. all those gains are doing you well, man.
He's already got back in the gym, so yeah. Props to him. I mean,
paying his dues, in his words.
There's a big aspect to hunting and fitness that a lot of people overlook, and I think we have some good blogs about it being not just good for you, but also respectful to the animal in a way of, I'm going to put in the work so that I can hike and draw this bow back and do everything I need to do and pack out the meat. And yeah, check out our blogs. Clyde and Deacon have been killing it.
Yeah. They're authors. Go check them out.
They're going to write a book.
Yes, sir.
A children's book about killing animals.
It'll be a great read. There'll be pictures involved, I'm sure.
we'll name a deer. And at the end, it'll be like a Bambi type story. We'll name the deer. His dad will get killed, and then, you know, we'll grow up with this. We'll call him, what should we call him? Timmy. We'll grow up with Timmy, and then at the end of the book, Timmy gets harvested by a hunter, and it'll be great for for kids.
Anyway, the videoing thing, though.
Videoing.
I think.
Back on topic.
It's awesome. I would encourage anyone listening, if you can do it, to try to do it. It's a lot harder to video yourself and go through that process and get a quality video, but it's definitely turned into one of my favorite things about the hunt. It, like you said, we can put it up on YouTube or we can have it on our phones, and it just chronicalizes the season, shows some of the best memories. And I definitely have like a pretty bad memory. It's something I need to work on.
He forgets my name from time to time. He also forgets Ashlyn's name.
I've never done that.
He texts me and is like, hey, what's your sister's name again?
I've never done that. But, gosh, you keep getting me off topic. Yeah, so anyway, me
recording
being forgetful.
All
yeah,
of that. Yeah,
forgetful. I can't find the freaking headlamp. I literally set stuff down in the worst places. Like, what did I do the other day? Oh, I put... We've got like Oreos that we put in ice cream. I put those in the refrigerator. Like, I'm just like so in my head when I'm walking around doing stuff and just thinking about things that I'm just like on autopilot, and I just set stuff down, and Anyway, that's beside the point.
You have like pregnancy brain.
Dude, it's bad. It's because like my brain is running nonstop and I'm always thinking about something. And normally it's not the thing that I'm doing right that second.
Yep.
Which I know you're that way a little bit too. So solidarity.
I do want to add one thing, a little disclaimer on the videoing. When we started videoing, made the commitment to ourselves, to each other, and to the animal of by no means is the camera and getting it on video going to trump the actual taking of the animal. If it comes to making an ethical shot and not getting the video, or making an unethical shot and getting the video, we're going to err on the side of, hey, this video doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So that's just one thing. If you're going to start videoing, which we both, it's been awesome for us. We highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Even if you just attach, like, if you get, like, the Hunting Public's phone mount or like, a GoPro or something, attach it to your stabilizer and just click it on. It's really cool being able to watch, but by no means let getting it on video hurt the animal in a way.
Right.
Because that's just, that's one thing I felt like we needed to say. Like, don't just go out and be like, just one outdoors said we need to video, so we're going to video us shooting this deer from behind. Not an ethical shot there, but.
Right.
Heck, if you want to do it. You'll get the gut pile or have to gut it and everything. And
use a carnivore. You'll be fine.
I don't know from behind.
We're not sponsored, but.
Yeah, don't use a carnivore. Don't Texas heart shot with a carnivore. You will be devastated.
Yeah.
The animal will probably be devastated, but you'll be devastated.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one thing I'm excited for after watching your video is the videos that we're going to get this season. And the camera, I think, makes a huge difference in the quality. And, like, we'll hunt separate a decent amount this year, but I'm sure we'll hunt together more often than we won't. Even if we have two tags, I'm sure we'll do it just because it honestly was a lot more fun last year, at least for me. Mm-hmm. It was a lot more fun, and like being able to get video and being able to watch it, even being the person videoing is surprisingly fun if you've never done it before.
Yeah. I told Madison, with how we've been seeing the deer, if things go our way, like right now it's looking like opening day is going to be ideal. If things go the right way, I think you could be tagged out, at least buck-wise, opening day. And, you know, knock on wood, I'm probably jinxing us, but, you know, just seeing what we're seeing, knowing what we know, I think it could happen, and I'm honestly hoping that happens because then, since I have so much meat, I'm kind of in the boat of, I'm going to be cameraman.
Right.
And get to go on all these hunts with these guys, and I may not be in the woods as much, hunting, but I'll get in the woods and be able to film and put out some high quality videos. I'm hoping that happens, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Just because that was a lot of fun last year getting to, you know, I still smacked a lot of does, but it was fun being able to just walk around, follow you, video.
Right.
And it's a lot easier when you have a cameraman.
Yeah, it's a ton easier. I've already thought about that a little bit. I've got a week slated in November right before rifle season that I'm taking off just to hunt. But if we tag out this weekend, I mean, I'll be just pushing that back past rifle season, right? And just taking it then.
Well, also, I was talking with Trevin, and he's looking early November is kind of, he said it's kind of a good rut time for them and could go down. And that'd be really cool to have both of us go down and him and maybe you or I in the tree with him.
Yeah.
And then another guy could be in another tree recording. I've always wanted to get that shot, that distant shot where you're recording him actually drawing back on something. I think that would be cool, but
yeah,
we have dreams, we have plans, and we need deer to cooperate. So if anyone has figured out how to make deer cooperate and do exactly what we want them to, shoot us an email. JustOneOutdoors.com is a great way to find all our contact information, and we would be very, very grateful.
Yeah. I was just going to add one more point here as we kind of wrap up. We're getting close on time. And now I'm blanking. Oh, yeah. If we tag out this weekend. One thing that would be kind of cool is, yeah, filming, but it'd be cool to be able to really focus on some of these other properties that we got and not really manage them, but more like just observe them, I guess. Be able to go out, look around, move cameras around, and really just position ourselves to be able to shoot something in the middle of November.
Yeah, and these guys, the properties we have, both the owners have said, kill as many does as you can.
Right.
So it'd give us an opportunity to smack some does. And we're working with the NDA, the local chapter, to where we'll be able, if we don't use the meat, we'll be able, or if we're full on meat, they actually know some families that would put them to use, which would be really cool and really, it'd be cool to give back a little bit and, you know, make use of smacking some does.
Absolutely. Fun for us, food for someone else.
Absolutely. So around our campfire, heading into season, or I guess, yeah, heading into season. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a good kind of question for the around our campfire. Do you have any? Because I'm blanking.
I just spent the last 5-10 seconds trying to fill the awkwardness.
So I'm looking at my buck mount. Here we go. Here's a question.
Okay.
So this isn't going to be an around our campfire where we give advice because, I mean, who really needs advice?
You don't want it from us.
I mean, seriously. It's like they say on the Elk Talk podcast, if you want to kill elk, this is not the podcast for you. what caliber buck are you looking for to potentially be like to, what are you looking to mount? And obviously, you know, you can get a, you know, raghorn buck and be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to school mount this, but like an actual professional mount doesn't have to be like a shoulder mount, but just like my Euro mount that I have. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely like Euro mounts better. Like, that's just my preference. Mm-hmm. Honestly, for me this year, I'm not going to be too picky because I haven't shot a buck with my bow yet. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to be too picky, but last year I was really happy with the buck that I shot and the maturity of it. Like, that made me feel good. And I never really had that before shooting deer, mainly because I've always shot small young deer.
We've shot the ones with spots.
If it's brown, it's down with the little bit of white spots.
We're culling the bad ones that don't have the correct color fur.
Right. But it
that sounds really bad. I apologize for that.
It was just weird though. Like, I'd never been one of those guys like, oh, I really want to kill an old deer and like, and not even that the one that I shot was that old, but it had some white around its face. And you could just tell it was older than a lot of, even the bucks we're seeing right now, it was older
than. It was a mature one.
It was mature. And it was like walking up to it is like, I have a different level of appreciation for that. That's not to say that I won't shoot one of the 2.5-year-olds or whatever we have running around the farm. Like I absolutely will do that. As long as it has 8 points or is just kind of unique, I have to throw that caveat in there because the last one I shot was unique.
He's shooting the 7-pointer.
I'm not shooting the 7-pointer.
He's shooting the 7-pointer because it's unique.
I'm not shooting the 7-pointer.
It's a 3x4. Yeah. Like, that's unique.
Yeah, it's missing one. It's non-typical. Honestly, that would be it for me. Like, I want to shoot an 8-pointer and I want to be with my bow. If I shoot any buck that's 8 or bigger, or it's just weird in some way, unicorn maybe, we've had one of those before.
Yeah.
It's going to go up on the wall for me.
Yeah. For me, it has to be a big one.
Are you talking shoulder for you?
For shoulder, it has to be a big one.
Does it have to be bigger than your first buck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, one, my wife won't allow it if it's not bigger. Even if it's close to the same size, I'd probably just Euro mount it. For a shoulder mount, it's going to need to be like Rufus caliber. If Rufus appears, If Rufus appears, he's going to be anywhere from 160 to 190 would be kind of my range on score.
It's a wide range.
It's a very wide range. It all depends on nutrition and all that, you know, all that fun stuff. But he would probably be shoulder mounted or that cool mount that I was showing you. Kind of, I think that would be cool. Other than that, I mean, it has to be an 8-point for me to shoot it just in general. And with that, I'll probably try to do kind of a Euro mount by myself on it just to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
If not, I'll clip off the antlers and those will be my new rattlers. Cause I don't think there's much that can sound like a natural antler clashing.
Right.
But, oh, speaking of that, which we're going way too long now. We got some pictures recently and they were kind of just sparring, like Madison asked what they were doing, but some bucks fighting right in front of camera. It was more so it looked like it was two kind of immature ones kind of sparring and just starting to establish dominance. I'm confident there's a bigger one out there that will kind of establish himself, but it was cool to see that because I've watched bucks fight one time. So it's cool to get that on camera and be able to watch that. But anyways, I think we've rambled on enough and wasted enough time in your day. If you're out in the woods, good luck. Kill a big one. Shoot us a picture. We'd love to celebrate with you because honestly, coming from the elk woods and getting to celebrate with my buddies was probably the coolest thing. And then also just afterwards, all the people that have congratulated us and have cheered us on. Has been really cool. So we want to cheer you on. We're excited. Whether it's your first deer and it has spots like we were talking about, or it's, you know, it's just this monster buck that you got to take, send it to us. We'd love to celebrate with you, post about it, all that good stuff. I really hope this is still recording. Yeah, it's still recording. We're good. Anyways, hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you did, leave us a rating, a review, share it. Share it on social media. That helps it get in front of more people and allows us to have bigger, cooler guests on that can really help you guys learn. One of our best episodes was with Dr. Grant Woods, and I've listened to that episode probably 3 or 4 times, just trying to learn how to be a better, you know, property manager, I guess would be the term. But yeah, definitely share this so that it gets out there to people. Leave us a review. And with that, we will wrap this one up. Don't forget, all it takes is just one.